has changed my mind.
Changed your mind about what?
About the name of the classic.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Well, the way some of those bitches got pimped out, you would have thought Moolah fucking booked it.
Oh, Mom.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 167. I am Credo.
Credo, do me a favor. Cut that fucking music off. Seriously.
What? It's the intro.
I'm mad today, bro. Uh-oh. 11 hours of fucking wrestling. There was some good and a lot of bad, and now you're going to find out why they call me the social assassin, Angry Cooter.
Well, he's already angry, ladies and gentlemen, so let's see if he can get even angrier. You know, last week we talked about how Cena was spitting that fire on Roman Reigns. I laughed so hard because it was like Reigns came out again this week, and he was still trying to follow up from last week. Like, he's still trying to get a comeback a week later, and that's how I took the whole segment with him coming out after Cena's match again. I was like, really? You're still trying to catch up from what he said last week?
You're the big dog. You're going to have to learn to cut a promo. Not a week later, like tonight. But he did have a fucking great line, though.
What was it?
When Cena's like, you walked out here with your zipper down, he's like, nah, actually, I busted it. Big dog. I was dying. I'm like, I don't care what Cena's like. Oh, I can't even see your nuts. You know, why were you looking, John? Like, that's when it got childish. But when he said that, I was dying, man.
That's not PG. Showing his big dog on the, or whatever. What's going on? But anyway, I mean, that was, I'm telling you, I don't know. I still think Cena won round two of that. I just thought it was funny because I was like, wow, he's still trying to get a good comeback after all this happened. But whatever. They're still going on with it. The show must go on. But still, what I was surprised with is how Shane McMahon is going to be suspended now. We're going to have Vince live on SmackDown this week coming up. What's happening? Because, you know, Kevin Owens keeps talking about, oh, I should have never been traded. Oh, you know, and they keep bringing it up. Like, are we going to get some other kind of shakeup soon? Or are they going to really send him back to Raw? Or what's happening with this? I mean, Shane suspended. Are we getting a new GM or what?
But the way that all the talent on Raw is right now, I mean, this is the perfect spot for Kevin Owens. It's a nice little program with Shane. All right, I know you're going to go there. Oh, first we had to have Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. That should have been the swan song. Then it was AJ Styles, and you were pitching a fucking bitch, like I'm probably going to do later. But now it's Kevin Owens, and it's like, but it's actually been done very well. I really have no qualms with it. Let's see where it goes. I want to give it a chance because I'm intrigued with it. I mean, it's been pretty well.
Are we going to have
well done?
Well, the only thing I could see happening, I mean, what's coming up? Are we going to have a Team Shane versus Team KO at Survivor Series kind of match, or just I don't know, another kind of a match?
Listen, I don't want to be the Booker man today. I want to be the angry man. But yeah, that's probably where it's going. I mean, it is still early September. I don't know when Survivor Series is. I mean, if it's at the end of November, a two-month build-up might be a little bit too long to keep someone's attention for that program. That's just my opinion. I mean, because you know how the wrestling fans are. Short attention spans. We want change, you know, tomorrow, today.
Well, what about this also, too? I mean, Survivor Series is still a long ways away, but the upcoming SmackDown pay-per-view is going to be Hell in a Cell. Don't tell me we're going to get Shane and KO in a cell. I don't know. That's another possibility, but still.
But are they going to have two on the same card?
Well, I think it's going to be, it could be Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke, but I mean, that's a whole other story. I don't know. They're building towards some kind of match, and I just don't get it. But right now, he's indefinitely suspended. We're going to see Big Papa McMahon on Tuesday, so we'll see what he has to say. But another shakeup, I don't know. It seems kind of early for it, especially to go back and forth with these guys on another show. But it's weird. There's a lot of stuff in the air. They're talking about it. I'm interested. I'm curious to see what Vince has to say pretty much Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he just needs another show, 305 Live, or I don't know what they're going to do now. Another, just group them all by weight classes and stuff. But how about this? Speaking of heavyweights, 305 a heavyweight, but what did we see on Raw? Because we got to talk about this. Did we see Big Show's last match? And let me hear me out really quick, because the stuff he did on Raw, this man hasn't even done these kind of bumps on like Mania in years. You know, two big bumps for the Big Show. I'm telling you, man, as a wrestling fan, watching it for years, watching this match, all I could think in my head was, this is his last match. He's not the kind of stuff that he was doing in the ring. I was like, that's it, man. This is it. This is his goodbye match. Like, I don't know. What did you feel from this? Because of those spots that he had, he's been written off TV saying that he has to also get hip surgery. I don't know.
I wonder if that was a really big fucking bump at the end through the cage. But I mean, the one of the night for me was the elbow drop, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen that since WCW. And I remember Booker saying that was his finisher when he first started. And I was like, oh my God, it was.
It's crazy. Because, like, I mean, did you watch it though? I mean, like, did you watch it saying to yourself, this is it for Big Show? Like, I mean, just the stuff that he was doing in the match made me say that this was it.
You know, towards the end, yeah, but I remember their first match when they main evented Raw. They've had a few matches. I remember when they were chain wrestling in one match right at the beginning, and you had Braun Strowman doing a nip-up when he was in a hammerlock. Like, it was hilarious. I mean, these two just had really, really good chemistry. And when you see two, like, behemoths like that colliding, I mean, you usually get, like, the punches and the kicks, and these two just... complimented each other so well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it seemed to me like a passing of the torch. Like, I get it, Braun, you're the big man around here right now. I don't need to do this anymore. The writing's on the wall, pretty much.
I think it's definitely his swan song. I mean, for Braun Strowman to sit there and say, it's time to put you out the pasture, old man.
Yeah, that was...
I was like, oh, shit. I mean, I thought he was walking out, and then when he went back in, and I was like, uh-oh. Here we go. Because we got the suplex off the top rope again. We had the Big Show do the elbow drop, and I'm like, he's going to kill him. But you know what they say? It's very appropriate. When he debuted in WWF, and I think it was Vince versus Stone Cold in the steel cage, and he threw Stone Cold through the cage. Do you remember?
Yeah.
How fitting for him to get thrown through a cage if that was his last match.
I know.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm saying... watching that as a fan in my head, my heart was saying, wow, this is it. This is the last we're going to see the Big Show. We'll see what happens. I know they're saying in reality he has to get some kind of hip surgery. So maybe he's saying to himself, you know, if I'm not being able to wrestle after the surgery, I'm going out tonight kind of a thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we don't talk about a lot of other companies. And if you guys have been listening to us for a little while, you know, we love WWE. They're the cream of the crop, right? There's only so much you could talk about. We try to throw in little things here and there like Ring of Honor, New Japan, rarely TNA, now GFW. My mind's blown with this, Scooter. Try to help me realize what's happening. Jeff Jarrett just recently announced he's taking an indefinite leave of absence from the company to focus on personal matters. The man just literally changed TNA to GFW, like, what, 2 weeks ago or something? I don't know. A few weeks ago or something to that effect. And now he's taking an indefinite leave of absence. What the hell is going on with TNA? And it's still TNA, even though it's GFW now, but what's happening?
I don't even think it is GFW. I think I read somewhere, and you guys can go to your dirt sheets, the most reliable source on the internet, as Cologne would say, that the merger was never actually completed. So I guess, what is it, Anthem, who owns it or something like that, TNA owns the right to Impact Wrestling. And I guess Jeff Jarrett still owns the Global Force name and the trademarks or some shit like that. Listen, let's not even bother talking about it, because how many promotions can Jeff Jarrett lose to other people?
Every year, I feel like around this time, we're always talking about the end of TNA and where they're going next. And
Just die already.
That's probably why we don't talk about them too much. I don't know.
Oh, God. Let me bring up something, though, because you remember Manny?
Yes.
The mannequin. The infamous...
One of the guests on our show a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. The one who shot the curtain call at Madison Square Garden on his camera there. That little mark. Love that son of a bitch. I really do. He was texting me all night last night, sending me clips of that new WWE unreleased DVD. And it's just got some really, really cool shit on there. There's tryout matches, Owen Hart.
Wow.
Bryan Adams... before Demolition, with the worst mullet in the business, dude. Earthquake Evans, this dude is coming down in like a flannel shirt and jeans, dude. Right. John Tenta looking like Skinner. You remember Skinner?
Oh, yeah.
And Tatanka as War Eagle.
Nice.
But some good matches on there. Flair versus Hogan, both of them holding up a World Heavyweight Championship. I guess that was when Flair originally debuted with WWF in 91, and he had the WCW title.
Yeah.
And Hogan was WWE champ, so they're both holding up that. Then there's this other rare tag match. Hogan actually teamed with Piper. And I remember seeing this on Madison Square Garden channel, where they used to air all the house shows. What's great about these, El Credo? No commentary.
No commentary.
So you don't have to worry about Michael Cole annoying you, a really bad joke from JBL. You just get to enjoy the fucking matches. And I guess the years range from 83 to 95.
Oh.
But let me tell you how big of a fucking mark this guy is. Right? He's telling me that Undertaker versus Ultimate Warrior in a casket match was on there. And I remember, like, watching Superstars and Challenge. That was at all the house shows, and they were heavily promoting it. I was like, is it the one at the Garden? Or was it at the Garden? He's like, no, I don't think so, because the aisle was always hard camera side, and, like, you know, it wasn't on this one. I'm like, you're such a fucking mark. You know the goddamn buildings like that and what side the camera was on? It's, oh, my God. Love that kid, but he knows way too much shit for even me to like, oh, my God.
Mark, there we go. Oh, wait a minute. How is this different? Oh, well, you know, going back a little bit to the GFW Amped Anthology that they're showing right now. Isn't it kind of like reminiscing of what they had?
Yeah, I know. You want to break my balls because I was bitching at all these fucking marks. Listen, there's a big difference between WWE putting out a DVD about legends who are most of them aren't even working anymore. And I'm pretty sure none of them were working anymore. I mean, you're talking from 83 to 95, where on this Anthem Anthology, it's about the Bullet Club. Finn Balor, Carl Anderson. These are guys who are working for a rival promotion. Why would you promote another promotion's wrestlers? Like, whoa, it's a quick cash grab. Really? Here's a great idea for a cash grab. Why don't you promote your wrestlers? Because tomorrow they're still going to be there, and tomorrow Carl Anderson and all these guys are still going to be working for WWE. And that's the other thing. It's like, why would you show somebody else's wrestlers? Like, wow, these guys are really cool.
I'm going to go watch their stuff.
For you? Let me go watch the show that they're actually on.
I know. It's a head scratcher right there. Like, why? Why, you guys? Really? That's what they okayed? They okayed this?
Yeah, but you know how these hardcore TNA fuckboy marks are. They're like, oh, you know, shut up. What the fuck you know about anything?
Well, you know, don't forget, everybody listening out there, if you head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, you can like us, follow us, subscribe to us. We also have a hotline, believe it or not. It's not really, you call up, it's a voicemail system, so don't think it's like you're paying for it. It's free. You leave a voicemail. It's 2017. We all know how to do that, but it's 802-AWP-7672. That's 802-297-7672. We got some calls about the Mae Young Classic, and speaking of a guy who's not here this week, Mr. Minority Mike, let's see what they have to say.
What's up, AWP fans? It's your boy, Minority Mike. Got some good news and got some bad news. Good news is life is great. Moved into a new apartment. Been trying to catch up on a lot of wrestling. Bad news is, because of life, I can't be on the show this week. But I know for a fact that Credo and Cooter are going to kill it without me. They always do. Anyway, just to give you a quick little update how life has been. Moved into a new apartment, like I said. Really hot girl lives upstairs. Now, everybody kept telling me, Mike, don't shit where you eat. Well, it's a little too late for that. Kind of did that already. So, insert foot into mouth. Yeah, that's going to be a little awkward when shit down the line. Other than that, Mae Young Classic has been fantastic. I have been a huge fan of Dakota Kai. WWE needs to sign that girl. There's other girls that need to be signed as well. Listen, I already started my drinking, that's why I'm a little slurring on my words. But guys, kill the show tonight. I'll probably call a couple more times, leave a little more drunken messages. But kill it. Have a good time. Cooter, stay angry. Credo, keep him in check. Later.
Hi, my name is Jordan DePaula. Women's wrestling is my first love. That was my first match I ever saw. It was a women's match. And in terms of the Mae Young Classic, I think I am more in the mixed category. I think it's interesting to have it the Netflix style. I think it's very different for wrestling. And, you know, I didn't really watch too much of the Cruiserweight Classic, but I do like episodic, so each week. But I understand that they were trying something new. The only things I really have not had an issue with is the level of experience of some of the women. That's something that does bother me, because I feel like they could have gotten a lot of women who had a lot more experience than, say, Dainara Gante from Brazil, even though I think she showed a lot of potential. I think they could have had some knockout matches in the first round. Just blow away matches. And I think that was something. And someone like Xia Li, who did show a lot of potential, but the first round should be the round to get everybody hooked. I think they could have had more women from around the world. There's a lot of women, and they didn't have anybody representing Canada. I know Nicole Matthews was an alternate, but, you know, Marty Bell had an interesting outing. Rachel Evers doesn't have that much experience to begin with, but that was we'll just try to be nice. I think they should have invited women that were former WWE superstars, or actually really former WWE divas, because they were part of that era, to wrestle. So I was thinking someone like Victoria, Lisa Marie Zarin, Melina, and Katie Lee Burchill, all are former women of the WWE who are still active wrestlers. I didn't understand why they... I know Victoria was looked at as a legend, and even Melina, but someone like Katie Lee Burchill would kind of be in the Serena Deeb category, and I do like Serena in the tournament. I think she did a great job. And I think Serena, Katie Lee, I think is great. I saw her work in OVW and some of her work in Impact or Global Force Wrestling now. And I thought, why wasn't she a part of it? I don't know. She would be representing England, or she's actually from German as well, so she'd be representing Germany. That was kind of surprising. I thought Victoria, Melina, Katie Lee, one of those, besides Serena. I know Serena had that kind of comeback story, but Katie Lee, at the same time, didn't know. Katie Lee Burchill wasn't a part of it. I kept talking about some of the women of the past. I also thought, why was Cyndi Lauper not invited to sing maybe the national anthem? I know it's a kind of a global tournament, having, women from multiple countries or representing multiple countries, but she's never really been a part of it, especially with her not being in the Hall of Fame. I like the inclusion of Jessica Carr, Kennedy Brink, and she was an independent women's wrestler, as the first female referee. I think that's great. The commentary is not that good in my mind. Since it got on, it got better, but Lita, I love the Lita character growing up, but as a commentator now, I thought maybe Charlie Caruso could have been fit for that role. I also, growing up, I remember Terry Runnels being the backstage interviewer. I thought she should have been the one to do that. I like Charlie Caruso, Renee Young. I don't know if she wasn't there. All the other girls, Christy St. Cloud and all those other girls. But Terry Reynolds could have been that person, just to include her and Lillian Garcia. It's also about showing the women that have been a part of the WWE product for all these years, not just the wrestlers. And I also think that the matches could have been a little bit longer. I am glad, I said earlier about the experience of the other girls. Girls who you didn't really, it was just kind of to put them in there. They were already signed. There was a majority of the girls that were already signed. They got to be a part of it, like Zeta, Xia Li, Lacey Evans, Vanessa Bourne. I understand that, but I think we could have gotten even more girls from around the world. There were girls like Deanna Purrazzo and Nicole Matthews who were alternate, but the girls who were signed got to be a part of it, and they didn't have much experience, and I didn't think some of them really impressed me that much. But we did get to see Bianca Belair. She did impress me. I think Bianca Belair is the future, the next Charlotte, in a sense. Someone who's just an athlete and can just shows this athleticism and just grasp, a quick grasp of wrestling. And I think, I think the semifinals should have been held live during the live finale. I think the live finale should still be in Orlando, not in Vegas. Curious to see what the reactions are going to be for these girls. Maybe they'll be great, maybe they won't. But I do think the semifinals should have been held at the same time. I also am a huge Santana Garrett fan. I didn't like to see her gone. We also got to, you know, it was also good just to see women from around the world get an opportunity that they probably wouldn't have probably 3 or 4 years, probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Hey, this is Ryan Stewart at Poughkeepsie, New York. Great to see the podcast back up in action. All right. Like that, they're showing a lot of good talent. Haven't seen much of it yet. I like Rhea Ripley because she reminds me of a young Roman Reigns. She's pretty, and she's very green in the ring.
What's up, guys? It's Minority Mike calling again. I just got to say a couple things. First of all, Tessa Blanchard can get the business. That girl is amazing. Sorry, Ricochet. I know that's your Kool-Aid, but I'm drinking that shit right now, all right? Otherwise, Piper Niven. Damn, Cooter. That girl is definitely in your spank bank for the week. Let me tell you, that girl is a big bitch. I never knew you were a biggin' killer, but goddamn. Anyway, got a text message from the hot girl that lives upstairs. She wanted me to come over tonight after the little dinner party I have to go to while I'm missing the show. Everyone keeps telling me not to shit where I eat. It's already too late for that. It's already been done. But they tell me not to go back. Well, the late great poet DMX once said, "It's okay, it's all right. Fuck all day, fuck all night." Have a good show, guys. Later.
It's all good, it's all right. Fuck all day.
You know, let me start off by saying these are all great comments except for Mike. Fuck you, Mike, and your Piper Niven comment. You're shit where you eat, and I hope you run out of toilet paper, motherfucker. Such a dick sometimes. Well, but no, he's absolutely right, Credo. I mean, part of me loves the Mae Young Classic, and the other part of me wishes that it was just booked a little bit differently.
Well, here, how about we start with the good and end with the bad then, right? Let's talk about the good, and then we'll work our way up to, like, why. Because now it's technically 90% over. We're going to get to the finals in a little bit, but let's take a little bit step back. Who are some of your standouts of the Mae Young Classic? I mean, all the matches we've seen so far. Mike mentioned Dakota Kai. I love – you know, she reminds me of Chun-Li – or not? Is it Chun-Li from Street Fighter?
Yes.
Claire Harris, she reminds you of that girl from Street Fighter. A talented girl. I thought she would have went all the way just from seeing all her matches. Incredible. She's definitely going to be signed very soon, if not already signed by, you know, like a long-term contract with NXT or whomever. But Dakota Kai, he mentioned. One girl I just want to bring up too, Miss Jackie, she reminds me of. It's Bianca Blair. The hair whipping. The only thing I go back to is the hair whipping. She literally took her long ponytail and just started beating the shit out of one of the finalists now.
That was a great match, dude. Let me tell you something. That was very creative. And you got to remember, that girl's only got a year of training.
Hmm.
And which is saying a lot compared to the other one I'm about to shit on. But, you know, that 450 she did, too, was awesome. I wouldn't mind seeing her in NXT. I mean, I think she's definitely earned some respect and possibly a spot, at least in the training center. Give her a second look.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely Toni Storm, though. My God. She was in the semifinals against Kairi Sane, and my God. This girl is just that total package. She's got fucking a character. She's got ring psychology. She's funny as fuck. I mean, all right, you know what, Mike? You might be a little bit right here because I'm going to say it. One of my favorite matches was Piper Niven and fucking Toni Storm. I mean, when they did that bridge spot where they were – oh, my God. And they're shaking hands in the middle of both. Shit was hilarious. I enjoyed it. I mean, it wasn't like the knockdown dragout that a lot of these other matches were, but it was entertaining in its own way. Fucking great, man.
Sure. Those some of the standouts. I mean, a lot more, but how about some of the upsets? The biggest upsets for me was Abby Lath. and Candice LeRae. Those two women right there, I think, have probably more experience than any of those other girls in the ring. Maybe Abby Lath over a lot more other girls, but like I said, I was a big Kimberly fan. I know Abby Lath. She was a guest on the damn show. Check it out. It's on YouTube. But still, I mean, those are upsets by me. I would have loved to see both of those girls make it to the finals. They didn't. But they still made it pretty far into the classic. But did anybody really upset you by losing, or did somebody lose that you didn't think was going to lose?
I kind of expected them, because I could see how what this tournament was really meant to do was what they did was they took some of these indie darlings, and I hate calling them that, but, you know, these fucking marks, you know how they are, to help get other talent over, get recognizable names, because you don't want them beating up on your homegrown talent like your Charlotte Flairs and your Becky Lynch. These are names like your Kimberlys, your Abby Lath, whatever, and your Candice LeRae's who can help get these girls over. And I wonder what happens to them now. I mean, are they getting deals? Are they going to be in the performance center? Are they going back to the indies? It sucks. I really don't know.
No, yeah, I mean, with Abby and stuff, hey, she's kind of NXT. Well, I think a lot of these girls will probably get NXT contracts at least. I don't think they should shoot anybody up to the main roster. Like, these girls could definitely simmer down in NXT for a while and, you know, run that whole gauntlet for a little bit, but... You know,
here's they actually had one of the girls who was eliminated from the first round on this week's NXT against God, what's her name? Sonya Deville.
Yes, Sonya Deville.
More about her later. Oh yeah.
Well, how about second looks? I mean, give me some second looks of maybe girls they should go back to. Is there anybody that stands out in that whole list?
I liked Mia Yim. I really thought she was good. Obviously, we want to get more Tessa Blanchard. So. Maybe Mike will do less shows and stay in his little room and jerk off all night. You fucking loser. And then, of course, Serena Deeb. I think she's deserved – not that she's deserved, but she's earned a second opportunity in the company like so many other people who have come and gone and come back to WWE. So, I mean
– Well, you know what? I correct myself, too, if I'm wrong, because I'll tell you, out of any of the girls, I could see at least Serena maybe getting – shot put up into the main roster only because True. Of her experience. She's been there before kind of thing, and it'd probably be a good story on the roster to work her way back from the bottom, but I don't think she really needs the NXT thing. You know, I think she's above that, but we'll see.
We've watched this tournament now. It's been for the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were getting an episode a week throughout the summer for the Cruiserweight Classic, mm-hmm. and we were hit with 4 episodes last week, and 4 episodes this week. Did you like how it was presented last year better or this year? Because I felt like, dude, literally just to get through like my normal wrestling television plus is 11 hours of television, dude.
I know. And that's where I don't – well, it's like they know what they're doing, but at the same time, do they really know what they're doing? Because it's like you want me to watch Raw, it's 3 hours. Then you want me to watch SmackDown, it's 2 hours. 205 yeah. Live, another hour. NXT, another hour. Now I have to watch 4 hours or now 8 hours of – it's like
yeah.
Something's getting lost in the shuffle.
I think they should have spread it out for at least a month.
Yeah.
They could have gave us 4 episodes for 2 weeks. That would have been a little more.
Hell, they could even started it at SummerSlam pre-show or something like that. Or do it like yeah. at the Access or something. Film it there. Or, I don't know. But yeah, just like definitely spread it out. Because now you're forcing me to watch all these episodes. And it's binge watching. And that's what's hip these days. You got to watch them all at once. And that's 4 hours, man. You know, one day and then one week and then 4 hours another week. And there's so much going on. Something's
yeah, there's some
lose.
People who do that on a regular basis. Like, I'm exhausted.
It's
11 hours
job.
Of show prep watching, just fucking watching TV. You marks better fucking start appreciating me, goddammit.
A lot of wrestling. And some people haven't even watched it, though. I've asked for some comments about it. And some people said they're waiting for everything to be over so they could binge watch it all. And I'm like, motherfucker, it's already like 90% done. All you gotta do is watch one more match Tuesday live.
That sucks, too. I mean... How long is that finale going to be? Is it just going to be one match airing on the WWE Network in Vegas? Is there, like, anything else on the card? Oh, I know.
Is 205 Live canceled then, too? So that they get rid of 205 Live and then just go right after SmackDown? Because I think it said 10 p.m. Tuesday. So right there, right after SmackDown. I guess they're going to bump 205. 205 pre-taped, maybe? I don't know what it's going to do.
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to check. But I don't know. fucking, because I mean, for the finale last year, at least I think you had the two semifinal matches. Then there was some other, there was another match on the card, but I think it was like two main roster guys.
Yeah, they had some like girls that were in the tournament too, I think, and they fought each other. Something like that.
Yeah, and then they had the, the finals. So I mean, I think it was just presented last year better tournament style than it was this year.
Well, you know what's the funny thing is that the finalists we didn't even talk about. And does that say something for what this whole classic turned out to be? I mean, Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. I don't know. Cooter, I want to set you off now. I want to start that flame and that ticking time bomb. I gotta get you to go nuclear now because I know your feelings on it. You know my feelings about it, but I think we gotta get that ball rolling because now we're in the finals, Cooter. We've had all these matches. Now we have the final match. Like I said, this is the Mae Young Classic.
Do any of these girls represent
Mae Young or like you know she's? I don't know. Tell me.
Listen. I don't have a problem with Kairi Sane the way you do, because I know you're thinking, we just got rid of Asuka.
We got to get another.
And like, oh, now we're going to get another. Oh, God.
Not racist. That's not racist. It's just
No, but that's not what I meant by it. It's just it's like Asuka never left because, you know, according to Credo, they all look the same.
What? I didn't say that.
I'm just kidding. All right.
We're losing our Asian market right now. They're dropping off.
God, jeez, we just lost subs. Damn it.
But no, seriously, yeah, but that's a good point, though. I mean, we just had an Asuka champion. Why do we need – she's Japanese, right? Or am I just – this is –
I don't want to
profile, but we've just had an Asuka 560.
You would make a fantastic police officer, you know.
Hey, you. The Asian one over there. I'm not Asian. I'm Korean. It doesn't matter. You're Asian. But no, I mean, just the Mae Young Classic, and I figured somebody kind of like Mae Young would probably be in the finals, but they got rid of all those girls. I don't know. This the finals.
So many
I'm just
good people in this fucking tournament, and we got stuck with Ronda Rousey's butt buddy, Shayna Baszler, in the fucking finals. Are you kidding me? And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, overreacting because I texted Mike after, I want to say, the semis. When I was done with everything. And I was like, Mike, is it me or does Shayna Baszler fucking suck? He goes, well, I like the way she's being booked. You know, she's being booked as a badass. She is. She's a great mixed martial artist. And she's a great athlete. I don't want to take anything away from her as an athlete, but as a worker, as Ole Anderson would say, she's the drizzling shit. Every fucking match she was in, I literally fell asleep in her first match. I forgot who she wrestled in the second one. Was that?
It's that forgettable.
That was the other girl that I liked. That was Mia Yim, I believe.
Yeah.
And then she had Candice LeRae, which was like, what, 5 minutes? Ugh. I wonder, because people were telling me, people we knew who were down in the Cruiserweight Classic, a lot of these matches were longer than they were on television, so they're heavily edited. I wonder if that match was that fucking bad where they had to edit the shit out of it just to try to make her look halfway decent. The only person who made her look any good was the girl that you hated. Mercedes Martinez. You hated this bitch. And I'm like, she's the only person who could make her look good. Why? Because she fucking trained her.
Oh, she trained her? Did she forget a few months or steps or something? No, the thing is, I think we could probably get into it later, but it's not the UFC anymore. It's not MMA anymore. It's pro wrestling. So you kind of just can't go in there and kick somebody nonstop. Like, you have to work that right. You know what I mean? Like, she was going in there like it's a legit brawl. Like, we're live on fight night, you know?
Yes. Whatever.
And it's like, well, I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, you got to do more than just that. Like, you got to talk to the crowd. You got to hit the ropes. You can't just go in there like you're going to beat the shit out of her. I mean, I don't think anybody explained that ring psychology to her. They just assumed
because
she's in the ring.
There's a lot of people who wrestle that MMA style that I don't have a problem with. Past and the present. And in the future, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of others who are going to try to emulate that style. She just can't do it. So this bitch is trained by Josh Barnett, who is also a mixed martial artist, who's a shoot wrestler. I mean, his whole style in MMA was it was a wrestling-based, you know, submission game. It wasn't like there's a difference between shoot wrestling and, say, jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
And that's her style. That's cool for mixed martial arts. And there are some people who get away with that style of shoot wrestling as a pro wrestler. She has not perfected that art because she's trying to also add in the strikes with it. Look at somebody like Shinsuke Nakamura, strong style, does the mixed martial arts, knows the grappling, knows how to, you know, throw those kicks and those strikes in there. She can't fucking do it. she looked like she was lost in one of the, I for one second actually thought she was so frustrated. She looked like she was about to get out of fucking ring and walk out. And like, I wish she would have. I really wish she would have fucking left, Credo.
It's like everybody who fought her like deserves like a main roster spot because they fucking made her look better than she probably ever would have. And that's the thing. It's like
I hope she's not getting a spot. Credo, do you know something else?
What's that?
How old do you think this bitch is?
29?
She's 37 fucking years old.
She's 37.
She's 37. She's the older oldest than of me. The four horsewomen. Yes. She's the oldest of the four horsewomen of MMA.
Wow. Ugh. Okay, so I think we got a good topic coming up. But hold on. Let me just take a step back because the finals are live Tuesday. We went through this whole classic. Are you telling me this whole classic was booked around just for almost like a – because now we're having this whole three horsemen, not the four horsewomen or whatever, three
right.
horsewomen against the WWE's three horsewomen minus Sasha Banks. But what's happening over there? Are you telling me this whole classic was built just for a fucking Ronda Rousey debut feud for where? Survivor Series or where else would they put this?
Like that would make sense, but like if I was going to do that – like, I wouldn't have debuted this on a network special. Yeah. If I have Ronda Rousey at a wrestling event, I want her on fucking TV. I want her on USA Network where she's going to get – I mean, don't get me wrong. It got mainstream media attention. But, I mean, come on now. We're talking fucking live television, getting Twitter going crazy, get trending. I mean, this is what we do nowadays. I mean, you kind of, like, missed the boat with this one. I mean, if the whole tournament was just to suck on the tit of Ronda Rousey and get her girl who wants to be a pro wrestler now more than she was a mixed martial artist. And don't get me wrong. She was a great fighter. She had a pretty damn good career. But come on now, man. Really?
So
there were so many women who could have benefited
yeah.
more than some 37-year-old bitch who's going to be in this business for a cup of coffee and then get the fuck out. All right, bitches, it's been a long time coming, and I haven't done this for a while, but I'm going to throw out the Angry Cooter mixtape, the must-see matches of the week, 11 hours of wrestling, and this is all subjective, of course. This is my opinion. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. You can scream at me, and I'm just going to laugh at you. You fucking marks. All right, for Raw, I mean, there was a lot to choose from this week, Credo. We had that Cena and Jason Jordan match. That's right, your boy over there. Mr. I'm just happy to be here, actually was getting this is awesome chance. But that wasn't the match of the week on Raw. Neither was Hardy versus Miz, but they have to get honorable mentions. Braun Strowman versus The Big Show in the steel cage. That's your fucking headliner. SmackDown, Orton and Nakamura. Credo, did you watch this goddamn match?
I did watch it.
Tell me, I didn't think these two were going to have this chemistry. Their fucking movesets were so incredible working together. I mean, just made for great reversals on everything. I didn't think these guys were going to have that kind of chemistry.
Sure, it would have been a great pay-per-view match. But, hey, first ever Nakamura versus Orton match. I mean, it's...
Same as... And what, 2 weeks prior, it was Cena?
Yeah. They're building
Nakamura
him up, man.
Is,
They're building
Nakamura
up that Japanese
is knocking,
star.
Yeah, there, oh, yeah, there you go. Nakamura is just knocking off all of the top name stars. Not on pay-per-view. But on regular television, the way Stone Cold refused to for Brock Lesnar. That being said, let's move on to 205 Live. The five-way elimination for the number one contender, Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Enzo Amore, Grand Metalik, and Brian Kendrick. Oh my God, this was the most incredible match.
How you doing?
Up until Enzo ran back into the ring.
How you doing?
Listen, Enzo, do me a favor.
How you doing?
Feed yourself a nice glass sandwich with onions. Kill yourself, fuck boy. I can't. I can't deal with this. This is the one match I've wanted to see, honestly, was Cedric Alexander versus Neville for the longest time. I think these two, hopefully they get a Mania match together. I think that could steal the show. But for Enzo Amore to be number one contender, I mean, it is only, what, No Mercy, so fuck it, who cares? Somebody's got a job to Neville.
How you doing?
How you doing? NXT, the match of the night goes to Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno. No DQ. Shit was fucking banging. Yep. And if you ask, what's that?
No, I was going to say, Itami, man, he's definitely found his feet in his comeback in NXT in this brand new rebirth, if you will. So he's starting to get that groundwork again, and I'm happy for him. He definitely needs to be on that right track.
I just hate seeing him do jobs.
Nah, yeah, I know. It's almost like the first few, but I mean, those, they're pretty good matches. Like, he's doing a pretty good job, and I hope they just start turning that, you know, turn the tide a little bit, and he'll start winning. But still, I'm glad to see him a little bit back into what he was.
Last but not least, I'm throwing this out there for you, Mike Colone. That's right. My match of the week for me personally in the Mae Young Classic. That vivacious Piper Niven, Greedo's favorite, my favorite, Mike Colone's favorite, versus Tony Storm.
Oh, no, that's not me clapping. That was actually sound effects from the match of the fat flapping on... This is what the match sounds like.
Oh, I thought you were beating off. That's what it sounded like.
No. We need a new sound effects department.
Oh, God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is your Angry Cooter mixtape. And, yeah, whatever.
Well, I think this brings up a good topic. I mean, it's pro wrestling, not MMA, right? It's not UFC. It's not mixed martial arts. It's pro wrestling. Let's talk about that. Let's get into that as a topic, because just with her, Baszler, that just brings up this whole topic now that it's pro wrestling. We've had many MMA stars and back and forth, go back and forth in WWE to UFC and whatnot, like Brock Lesnar, Ken Shamrock, and so on and so forth. But are some of these MMA guys and girls or whatever, should they be training for wrestling just as long as they trained to do MMA to adapt to wrestling better, just for her as an example, to where how long did she train to be a wrestler? I know, granted, he did fighting and stuff in the octagon or whatever, but...
I think she only debuted 2 years ago on a Ring of Honor card.
Well, it's still... I don't think... Like, she definitely hasn't put in the time. It's just like, what, I'll wrestle here, I'll wrestle there... Not like every day, 7 days a week kind of thing, you know, so...
I don't know what she... I mean, I know she... Right now, she wrestles for... I know she was in Shimmer for a little bit. And that's the funny thing. Some of these girls that she faced, she's had matches against already.
So she's still like, that bad.
I was reading her bio on Wikipedia. She's already had matches with Mia Yim. She's had matches and was trained partially by Mercedes Martinez. The only person I think was her first match was Candice LeRae. And look how short that fucking match was. Okay?
So what's funny is that you brought up Sonya Deville before. She's kind of got that fucking gimmick already. Like, she's a fighter, but she's a wrestler. But Sonya can actually wrestle and has that ring presence, can actually talk to the camera with her body. And it's almost like, okay, now we're going to have another girl who's this MMA fighter?
God, it drives me nuts. Credo, because you brought up a point before. You said, should she be trained in wrestling as long as she was trained in MMA? Yes, and I'll tell you why. A guy like Brock Lesnar, a guy like Shelton Benjamin, two great collegiate wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Real wrestlers. I mean, they don't just like show up one day and say, hey, you know, we're on the main roster. No, they were in OVW working their asses off, learning the craft, paying their dues, and putting the time in to actually become a star. You know, not going with what they already knew. They were willing to learn more for that business. You have to adapt, because collegiate wrestling sure shit ain't the same as fucking professional wrestling, unless you're Rick Steiner and you're wearing the same headgear. That aside, fuck it, man. This bitch I'm nuclear over Shayna Baszler. But you brought up Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted that type of person in the tournament, you should have put her in it. I mean, you had Lacey Evans in there for a cup of coffee. That was homegrown NXT talent. Why not put somebody in there and get her more exposure and use these veterans that you brought in, like your Candice LeRae's, like your Kimberly's, to get, you know, your next generation of talent over. Not some 37-year-old bitch who can't fucking wrestle.
Well, you know, just the whole thing about that, it's pro wrestling, not MMA, right? What about, like, the style? It doesn't mesh well. I mean, you can't just be knocking out people. Like, nobody wants to see a knockout punch in wrestling, right? They don't want to just see, like, a punch and that's your move. Like, they want to the wrestling experience, right? Like, 10 punches, right? That's the limit. Or not just, like, one. Like, Big Show, for example, he fucking started doing the knockout punch, which is fucking lame because it's not – it's, like – it's not wrestling. It's – that's – you know, it's, like, stop doing that. Like, stop bringing the real fighting into the wrestling. You know what I mean? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are to me, using too many mixed martial arts holds as their finishers. And a lot of them are using that rear naked choke. Like, the Asuka Lock is basically a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
And that was Kairi Sane, the 37-year-old bitch who I can't stand. Her finisher, though, I will say, she does have a cool modification where she gets that rear naked choke after a modified vertical suplex. That is the one good thing I will say. She has a cool finisher if she does it that way. I mean, and she did catch Candice LeRae in the finisher blocking her finisher. So that was pretty cool.
You have guys like Matt Riddle, you know, working the indies, who's not just jumping into something and saying, like, he's the best because he works somewhere else. There's a few other guys handpicked that have done UFC, and they're coming out as their gimmick to wrestling as, like, a UFC fighter. Like, is that the wrong way to put these guys? Like, yeah, unless you're a huge name, like Brock Lesnar was in the WWE, became UFC champion, came back, you know, like, unless you're like Brock Lesnar, do you need to still have, like, that fighting kind of a gimmick? I mean, Brock's just a beast, but the MMA gimmick, like Sonya Deville, now Shayna Baszler, should they come up with another character besides being that MMA fighter? I did air quotes. You couldn't see me.
Yeah, I know. It's starting to become taboo. Because, like, I remember when Brock came back and they showed what his ring gear was going to be before he came out for his first match against Cena when he did come back.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's going to be wearing mixed martial arts gear. I'm like, well, would you rather him come out in the black trunks? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's something different. I mean, he is a legit world heavyweight champion. Like, that's the real deal. I mean, we could say what we want about his career. I mean, I have to put a few asterisks there myself. But you can't take away from the fact that he is or was one of the best. I don't want to say ever. In the division during the time where he was fighting. We'll put it to you that way.
All right, so hear me out. I mean, recently we've just had, McGregor versus Mayweather, an MMA star versus a boxer, right? Now we have this women's classic to where, as a fan, you think, okay, we're going to watch a lot of great women's wrestlers. You have a girl like Baszler come in as a MMA star into the wrestling world. Now she's kind of dominating the wrestling world. The finals haven't happened yet, but she has a 50% chance of winning, right? 50-50. So what does that say to where does it kind of shit on the classic? Does it shit on the women wrestling to where, you know, you said it, she had a lot of horrible matches. She's probably the greenest blade of grass out of everybody in that classic.
I wouldn't even say that. I'm going to say that lawn hasn't been fertilized in quite some time. That's a brown fucking weed filled lawn. Not green. It's a dead lawn.
So with that said, though, I mean, like, you're having all these mixed things, right? Like, an MMA star fights a boxer. Now an MMA star is in the wrestling world. Are you going to have the wrestler beat the MMA star in the finals now with this? Because honestly, I don't care about this whole final match. My whole two cents about that is that
not to be racist or type, you know.
There we go.
You know a good sentence starts when you're like, not to be racist, but we've already had Asuka 516 days as a champion. No offense. I love you, Japan, and whatever, but, you know, like.
This just in, folks. Credo wants a blonde-haired, blue-eyed champion for the women's NXT title.
It doesn't have to be that, but, you know.
All right.
You know, it's just like another Japanese star. I think they're overdoing it with the Japanese stars. And once again, I love Nakamura. I love all the Japanese stars in WWE right now. Hey, I wasn't even a Taka Michinoku fan, but still. Is it just overboard with Japan and now overboard with MMA stuff? Like, can't we just have a women's wrestler win the damn fucking tournament? That's what I'm trying to get to.
No, I hear what you're saying, and it's a catch-22 because you got – she's such a star, Kairi Sane. She's going to draw – I think they're trying to tap into that Japanese market because, I mean, there's – New Japan is getting some traction. People are really starting to follow it, so – hey, what did Vince do back in the 80s? He poached all the other territories and took their talent. I mean, look at the roster. You got your Asuka. You got your Nakamura. You got Itami. You got your Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. I mean, they were big stars over in Japan. AJ Styles, Finn Balor you got from Japan. I mean, literally, these are guys that are keeping them afloat right now. So, I mean, but I hear what you're saying in terms of the MMA person beating the wrestler. I like to throw the metaphor out. Michael Jordan, when he retired from the Chicago Bulls and thought because he was Michael Jordan, he could still go and be a baseball player.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it sucks. I think WWE would be smart enough to let Kairi Sane win this. And I'm sure they probably have her under a contract. They're very good at protecting themselves. I mean, you look at the way the semifinals and the finals and the Cruiserweight Classic turned out last year. Nobody thought we were getting TJ Perkins, you know, versus Grand Metalik for the finals. I mean, everybody was sure it was going to be Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it all boils down to, is Shayna Baszler getting a contract? And to sweeten a deal, if she gets a contract, are we getting Ronda Rousey? Or is it – who the hell knows?
That's the thing now. Now, okay, let's say that you're bringing up my next point. So, okay, if you have the wrestler win it and the MMA star doesn't win it, are they going to end her match on like a dusty finish, if you will, just to further that horse-women match against each other? You know what I mean? Like, because they've shown them backstage – they want to end the classic on a distraction, right? It has to be 1, 2, 3, you know?
I don't know.
Because it's almost like they made the Mae Young Classic almost just a build-up just to get the four horsewomen of each thing and just to have a match out of that. It almost like, come on, you shouldn't be mixing those worlds yet. Wait till after the fight. Wait till after the classic. Let it happen and... I don't know. It's almost like they're trying to work some kind of story into this. But regardless.
What does the winner get? I mean, I know we're getting
a trophy. Yeah, just a trophy. I mean, well, that's the thing. We knew that last year on the Cruiserweight Classic, too, because they're getting a trophy. But the last episode. Triple H says they're debuting the new Cruiserweight Championship. So it was like, oh. You know, they can't really debut a women's championship, you know what I mean? So it's like you already got an NXT, you already got a SmackDown, and a Raw women's champion. Adding a fourth women's champion, a little bit much, but maybe a title shot, you know, they'll probably say, right?
You know, here's a dumb question for you, and I hate to get off topic, but it was something I was thinking about earlier. I mean, we got a Cruiserweight division, right? We got a – well – we don't really have a UK division. I mean, we had a tournament.
We were supposed to have a UK television show a long time ago.
Could you see being that? I mean, we literally had 32 wrestlers, female wrestlers. Could you see a potential split of NXT where we could have one night of NXT that's all men and another night that's just all women?
Ooh, an all women show. Like, you know. You're just coming off a glow on Netflix, right? The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Why not?
Because you have other successful promotions that are just women, like Shimmer.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you can use those other smaller promotions as like feeder system type of thing, the way that you know, like ECW was for WWE in the fucking Attitude Era. You know, I think that would be an idea, no?
Yeah, I think you just kind of predicted it almost, because, I mean, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, there was a lot of women in that tournament.
And there's a lot of women who are still on the fucking NXT roster.
Yeah, and it's like, because like last year, the cruiserweights, you kind of took most of the cruiserweights, and some came for a little bit, and some went, and then some stayed, and whatnot, but it was still a majority of them. I think there's only like two big names that didn't really stick, or something like that, but the cruiserweights. But out of all these women, it's like, you can't, you see how much time they get, right, on each show, so why not just give them another show? It's just another show for the network. An hour show. It doesn't need to be two hours. You know, just an hour show of just women's wrestling. I think that would be a great idea, because what you could do is have the winner of that either, I don't know, be the women's TV champion, or just, you know, go against the NXT women's champion and keep that belt on there or something. But yeah, I like that split idea of it could be an NXT women's show or just fucking women's show, to where you could have the girls on the main roster go against the younger girl. I think that'd be a great idea, and I hope they're listening to us. Can we trademark that here? It says, you know, are we the first podcast to talk about that? I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Let's give it a shot, shall we? Fuck it.
But either way, Cooter, I mean, it's pro wrestling, not MMA. And that's what I think they just got to need to take a step back and realize what they're doing, because when they actually do have this four horsewomen or three horsewomen, I don't know why they're not showing the other horsewoman on it, but whenever they have this match, is it going to be a wrestling match, or are they just going to fight like MMA? And, you know, like, it's got to be a wrestling match.
And how much WWE training have any of these girls done?
I know.
I mean,
it's like, I know athlete,
Rhonda could probably adapt very well. She's a very good athlete. And then Jessamyn Duke is another one. She's a strong, but she's kind of a scrub in the, whatever. That being said, and then there's the one that everybody else forgets. I think her name is Marina Shafir. I think that's her name. And she's the youngest of all of them, believe it or not. I think she's like 29.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
and I'm like, these girls, they got to learn how to work a fucking match quick.
That's it. Well, you know, I want everybody out there to let us know what they thought. You know, we had the hotline, but hey, tweet us at @AWrestlingPod. Facebook us at Another Wrestling Podcast. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com is the mothership.
And for all your anti-Credo tweets, you can follow him at... No.
Subject, I'm not racist, but... You get it. There's just a lot of Japanese stars. I'm not racist. There's just
Listen, Credo has a lot of Japanese friends, really.
I do. I got... Yes. Well, actually, the hibachi place actually closed down in our town, so I'm kind of upset.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I need to find a new hibachi place.
Osho closed down?
It did.
You're shitting me.
It's trust me, my heart is still broken right now, and I think I have to find this other one called like Kobe somewhere in Poughkeepsie, and I don't know. I just need another hibachi place. If you Japanese stars are listening out there, please tell any friends or family members who may work in the business. Anyway.
Oh, you're such a dick.
I'm not racist, but there's just too many stars, guys. Anyway. You know, next week, we'll try to think of something else. If you guys want us to talk about something, let us know. Tweet us, Facebook us, like us, follow us, subscribe to us, leave some love, because we'll love you right back. God, is that right? I don't know. It's 2017. Just fucking do something.
Where's Mike been? I'm kind of tired of covering for his ass.
He's been busy, Ma. World doesn't revolve around you. We just moved into a new apartment.
Yeah, how many of his neighbors has he fucked?
Well, funny you should mention that, eh?
Yeah, remember what I taught you. Rule number one, never shit where you eat.
Oh, Mom.